trip's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That was Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, the beginning of a new week, June 24th, 2024. And I'm a little bit pumped because I have two evangelists in the studio with me. In fact, I haven't met up with this one evangelist since I had three evangelists with me for dinner. Daniel Nally is joining me in the studio, but about a month or so back, Daniel and Bob Holmes and Willie Comer, we all had dinner together, and it's kind of like a vision casting session. How can we reach people for Christ? How can people come to know the Lord? How can we equip the saints? How can we further God's kingdom purposes throughout Champaign-Urbana and the region? And so it was a great evening of vision casting and getting to know these brothers. Well, Daniel was in this past Thursday as we had one of these informational meetings, because he's investigating. Daniel, you're just trying to see what's the interest level if the churches throughout the greater Champaign-Urbana came together, what purpose could God accomplish that would be greater than any one church? And you have a heart for souls being saved and people growing and being discipled. And so we had this interest meeting. I think I calculated there's about 15 or 20 different churches represented, people that asked really good questions that were very interested in knowing more, because you've been praying up for some months, what might God do in 2025? And so we hold these interest meetings, and you've met with many different pastors one-on-one. You've met with groups of people to see what would God do if we all came together. And I love the concept, saturation evangelism, different ways of working through different groups. So it isn't just a one-and-done kind of gathering with some worship music and a speaker. And yes, God uses those and people can come to know the Lord. But with the concept of saturation evangelism, you help the homeless people. You work towards the international students, maybe first responders, single moms. Anyways, that's something you're going to talk a little bit about. So in the studio with me is a growing dear friend, Daniel Nally. He's the director, the overseer of Gospel Encounters with his wife and a great team. And I think even some interns, some trainees that you're working with. He drives all the way up from the Mount Vernon area, so he's all in. I mean, that's a 2 to 3 hour drive. In fact, last Thursday, as many of you know, I've used this concept before, whenever you press kingdom influence, power, and authority into a new realm, maybe it's a practice of scripture memory, or maybe you're working at a soup kitchen, or you want to advance God's kingdom purposes, there tends to always be something to thwart, to derail, to frustrate. Obstacles happen because Satan doesn't want God's kingdom expanded. Well, wouldn't you know, Daniel and his team get in their van. They're all excited to come up, flat tire. Well, it's not just an easy fix. And then they're like, well, the other vehicle had transmission issues. We're going to have to use this one. It seemed to work fine recently, so no problem. Well, we get this flat tire. Oh, well, now the van that we're having to use has no air conditioning. Can you imagine with the hot weather we've been having, 2.5 hours or 3 hours with no air conditioning? But he made it with about 4 minutes to spare and got everything set up. But anyways, we have him back to share a little bit about Habakkuk 2:14, and he's going to introduce his friend Tom. Tom, you're from Connecticut, I think?
That's right, yeah.
And it's Tom Miyashiro.
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 Miyashiro. There you go.
Miyashiro, who's also a traveling evangelist. Do you work with the Lewis Plow Ministry Organization?
Yep, that's right. Specifically with the Global Network of Evangelists. So it's a department of Lewis Plow Association.
And maybe, Tom, you can introduce him. But I wanted to give you a little freedom to talk about Habakkuk 2:14, because when you shared this with the group, people were captivated. They were listening. But I think there was some healthy conviction and insight. And I was very blessed. I said, oh, I want to memorize that verse. I want to be more familiar with it, because you kind of raised the bar, and I'll read it again and talk about Habakkuk 2:14, because this might be a springboard for many people on this Monday. It's a new week, and they might garner some kind of healthy conviction or insight, but Habakkuk 2:14 says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now, this is the NIV rendering, so there might be different wording in your book. But why did God put this on your heart, and why do you love this verse so much?
Yeah, well, first of all, Mark, it's such a blessing to be here with you. I'm so thankful for everything that you have done for me and our team and Gospel Encounter. And so thank you, my friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this verse here in Habakkuk, it's so powerful because it's talking about God's glory being taken to everyone. And he's using this specific imagery that God's glory is going to cover the entire earth, just like the water covers the sea. And my family and I, we graduated from Bridges Christian College, my wife and I, a couple months ago. And while we were down there, we were sitting on the beach and we were overlooking the ocean. And my son was just saying, "Dad, you can't see the end of it. Like, look, Dad, like there is no end, right? And when you look out at the ocean or the sea, is all you see is water forever and ever as far as the eye can see." And the imagery that God gives here through his word is that the knowledge of the glory of God, this gospel message, it's his desire, his will, his plan to see the entire earth filled with this knowledge of this gospel. And so sharing this last week with the group, it's all because we want to see an outreach done here in Champaign, Urbana, where we saturate the city with the gospel. And like you alluded to earlier, we don't just want to come in and just reach one group, you know, come in and have a speaker and have a band. And, you know, we want to go after different groups of people who are lost and hurting, who won't come to, you know, it's a big general thing. So what does it look like to saturate Champaign and Urbana with the gospel? It means identifying the people who are not being reached in these different demographics and holding what we call micro outreaches to build bridges into their life. And as we do this, you have a collection of micro outreaches to specific demographics within a city. What you do is, after those micro outreaches build up and build up, you look back, and that's not a micro outreach anymore. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds being pursued and reached by the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so Habakkuk is just this perfect scripture and really where we get our mandate for doing saturation evangelism.
And what I love also about the saturation evangelism, you're not just there to bring them to Christ. You want to equip the church to continue to disciple them so that they're going to mature. And this might be an ongoing relationship over the years. And so you also are going to come in and hold workshops or training sessions so that the church can do what the church does best. So you're not wanting to compete at all with the church. You want to support the church, encourage the church, get the ideas on how to work best with them, and then really unleash these many people that might come to know the Lord to get plugged into the church.
We say we want every Bible-believing, disciple-making church to be filled. Mm-hmm. We want them all to be filled at capacity. And so, yeah, what that'll look like is lots of prayer movements taking place before and during all of this, and then lots of evangelism equipping, lifestyle evangelism equipping, because you said it, Mark, we can't just come in and do an event, and even a saturation event where it might be several micro outreaches leading up to a big celebration. Even if we do that, that's still better than a one night, you know, real quick thing. But if it's just this one campaign and it ends there, we still, in my opinion, and we still have failed. We have to see disciples be discipled and matured for the long run. So we have to have on-roads into the local church so that these people who get saved can be mentored, discipled, and brought to full maturity and fruition in Christ.
Now, Daniel, I'm going to have you introduce Tom a little more because he was in from Connecticut, and I think he's traveled all over the country and world, and he works with global network of evangelists. But Daniel, I also want to say this is the second time you've done one of these informational gatherings, and I was pleased that we had the 10 or 15 different churches represented. But there may be another meeting or two down the road, but if a pastor or an elder or deacon or someone involved in the church is like, their heart's beating a little quicker, they love the idea of reaching the lost, is there a phone number or should I send them towards the website gospelencounter.com, or do they call you up, or how do they meet with you? Because they're starting to catch the vision. They're like, I want to help reach lost people. I want to be a part of this maybe 2025 evangelistic campaign. I've never heard of that concept, saturation evangelism, where I can target the single moms, or I have a heart for the youth or first responders. I know the chief of police or the firefighters, or I want to get involved. How would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mark. So anyone that wants to get in contact for more information or wants to set up a meeting, Zoom call, phone call, you can get a hold of me at 618-214-9355. 618-214-9355.
And that phone number, in case you're driving to work and you couldn't write it down fast enough and you're like, I'm used to 217. What was that area code? We'll have that with the station. So just call us 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777, and we'll get you connected. And we're probably going to be having Daniel back in the area to talk some more, to meet with pastors. And if you're a pastor tuned in and you're like, yes, I think I would love to have our church be a part of some training sessions, evangelistic workshops, different ways to get involved and reach the community, Daniel and his team can come and work out all those specifics. But Daniel, you brought a friend that's very involved in an evangelistic movement around the world. Louis Palau, many of our listeners will be familiar with him and Global Network of Evangelists. But why did you have Tom come in? Is he helping with some of your endeavors, your future evangelistic outreaches?
Yeah, so Tom here, him and I have become friends over the last year and a half, 2 years, and Tom was actually a mentor, a coach through an evangelistic ministry that I was going through called Pulse 100. And so Tom and I, we just grown together as friends, and Tom has a lot of wisdom, a lot of insight that I've been able to glean from. And then he had actually got me connected with another ministry that, thank God, has been able to mentor Gospel Encounter. They're a worldwide ministry reaching literally millions for the gospel, and their organization has been mentoring our organization and pouring into us, and all that happened because of my relationship with Tom and the trust that we have and just the referral from Tom. And so Tom's here with me today to help us in the process of what's it look like to come to the drawing board and jump into the think tank and come alongside and say, hey, how can we partner? And Tom represents the Louis Palau ministry, a branch of them, helping the evangelists really all over the world, but here in America, just come together and network, come together as a big family of evangelists working together in unity movements and collaborations to be able to see cities and, quite frankly, nations won for the gospel.
So, Tom, how did you derive this calling on your life to be involved? In 5 or 6 minutes, a little of your faith journey, life story, and testimony.
Sheesh, that's huge. Well, I grew up in Eastern Connecticut, and the thing about the New England states is it used to be the place where innovation rested. It used to be the place where, well, when our country was founded, everyone was leaving Europe to come to the United States to find a new land, new promise of a new life, freedom of religion. And so, you know, the New England states has all that heritage and history within our country. And then what ends up happening, people kept migrating west. And what ends up happening in New England is you have loads and loads of places, you know, especially ex-industrial revolution factories that they just sit empty. And New England's kind of a cold place too, you know, especially the winter time where winters are hard. So you can kind of just imagine, I'm kind of like fast forwarding through history, a cold place where it's hard to make it. And a lot of the great ideas and a lot of the great movement keeps on moving through. And so those who've stayed behind are a little rough and a little calloused. Little jaded. Yeah. And even church has moved on down into the Bible Belt and out west. And so we consider New England post-Christian. Mm. So it's a very hostile place for the gospel. If you see someone with like a Christian fish on their car, you almost want to stop and meet them because you're like, it means something to you. You know, it's not like a casual thing. And the average size church in New England is like 50 to 100 mm-hmm. people. So very small church community. So growing up, my parents being good Christian people in a post-industrial, empty factory kind of city with a lot of poverty and very cold and cold spiritually as mm-hmm. well, it was difficult to find faith in Christ. And I'd hear my parents speaking about Christian values, and I found it very difficult to kind of go into public school and live my faith in an environment where I just didn't see how the gospel worked in real life. And what was really challenging, especially just all those different immigrant communities kind of coming together, making a lot of racial tension and a lot of different class tension, just kind of coming up in the middle of that and trying to figure out where the gospel was relevant in all of that. And so, example, parents say, turn the other cheek. You know, go to school, get bullied and get beat up a little bit. And I'm like, okay, I turned one cheek, the other cheek, and two back ones. I'm out of cheeks.
How many, you know, more do I
like
have?
Where's the power in the gospel when I'm continually being abused and mistreated? And I didn't really get it. And, you know, you take Jesus, the person of Jesus, a living Jesus out of the scripture. And if you're just reading it like it's a story from a long time ago, and it's really hard to see the power in the gospel in that. Why live these values? Why get kicked around by society? Why be at the bottom of the barrel? I don't understand why my parents would ask me to suffer abuse at the hands of others, to take the high road when everybody's taking the low road and ending up beating me on the high road. It doesn't make sense. So I was lashing out. I was very angry, very upset. And you come to that moment where you hit your lowest of low. And just to kind of fast forward the story, when I did encounter Jesus, it was like, oh, it all makes sense now. Because if God is real, and if Jesus is all powerful, and he chose, because he loves me, to not act, to not lash out, because his prize was winning me, then it was like, I see now. I see why you'd ask me to do that for the ones you love.
And being that high priest, being one that had suffered, that people had betrayed, that people had pummeled, that people had abused and abandoned, he can identify with our own hurt. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
there's probably many listeners can identify with Tom's story. Like, I tried to be a Christian and I got walked on or beat up or abused or violated. How can there be a loving God to allow that
right.
to happen?
Exactly.
But what you discovered, Tom, was that Jesus became personal.
Absolutely.
And real. And listening friend, Jesus is personal and can be approached and does love you and grieves when you're hurting. He feels your pain. He truly does, because he's experienced it himself.
When you do encounter the love of God and then that compels you to love the way you're loved, that changes everything. You know, like, it is the reason why you'd choose to keep your mouth shut when people are saying all this stuff about you, or when you are kicked around. I mean, anybody who's got a kid might understand this, especially a teenage kid, when they start running their mouth and acting a certain way. And you as a parent are choosing to take that higher road, and you're choosing to take even abuse from your own kid because you love them. You look at them with love, your creation, your only begotten, maybe. And once I recognized that that's how God felt about me, then my response to him was to love him, and then him asking me to love the way he loved. And it wasn't hard to just start sharing that experience with my friends. And that's how you get into evangelism, right? Is by encountering Jesus, recognizing the reality of his presence and power in your life, and then just like, you know, in Daniel's case, in my case, just going rabid, sharing that experience with other people. I mean, and there's nothing more thrilling than seeing someone give their life to Christ.
It reminds me of what Steve Brown, and you've heard this, many people have said, I'm just a beggar that found some bread and I want to help feed others. And the thing about following Jesus too, and you kind of reference this, but we can't earn our way into heaven.
Right.
It's not by our good works.
Right.
It's not by anything.
Right.
Now, we want to do good things and we want to love back. And God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. So we want to follow that. But that doesn't earn us into heaven. It's all what Jesus did on our behalf.
Amen.
And so we're forever indebted to this Lord and Savior, God becoming man, who chose to die for our sins, the punishment we all deserve, that we should have received, can be given to him, given over to him as we trust in him. And maybe Daniel, we only just have a minute left, but there's probably people, maybe their hearts are tendered now, or they're recognizing they've fallen short, or they've never measured up and say, God's through with them. To the Christian that is encouraged because they know that there's evangelists out there sharing the good news message, but maybe close our time in prayer for the person struggling to know God, to the senior saint that wants to finish well.
Yeah. Father, we come before you. We lift the listeners up to you. God, you see them in their situation. You see them in their circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Those who are far from you, God, and those who feel like you're far from them. God, just remind them that they're one prayer away, one honest heart cry away of humbling themselves, of being right there with you.
Mm.
So, Lord, I just pray that you would draw on their heart, Lord, if whoever's listening to this, that they would call out to you, Jesus, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I need you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That they would confess in humility their need for you, Lord. And they would call on your name. And then, God, that you would show up and do what only you can do. Change their heart, Lord. Pour out your mercy and forgiveness and fill them with your spirit and lead them and guide them all the days of their life. And God, for the Christian listening, Lord, that just feels maybe defeated, or maybe just feels like they've been beat up, or maybe they're just trying to finish this life well, their walk with you well. God, encourage them, Lord, and give them what they need. Let them know that you are faithful to complete the good work that you started. And as long as they have breath in their body, may they praise you and sing your praises, and may they declare the mighty acts of God to the next generation. And until every bit of praise has been sang out of their mouth and that torch has been passed on, may they never be silent.
Yeah.
We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, God, for Daniel. Thank you, God, for you, Tom. And thank you, God, for Gospel Encounters. Listening friend, if there's a stirring in your heart and you want to see evangelism come to the greater Champaign-Urbana area, or maybe your community. I know Daniel and I talked about Bloomington and Decatur and Springfield, and maybe God is going to continue to advance his work into your area. I highly recommend Daniel and Gospel Encounter, and you can find out more at gospelencounter.com, gospelencounter.com, or call the station and we can get you connected with Daniel. And who knows, Tom might be coming along with him in the days ahead. But it's a great work, and we're all about loving God and loving people. So let's pray for our community, pray for your family, pray for where you're working today. As you go, wherever you go, proclaim that good news message of Jesus. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Daniel Nally, and Tom Miyashiru with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.